It's more than just your output, more than a bike. When you hear your shout out, you know it's all right. Put on your magic pants and let's go. We're cruising into the power zone. Clip in, set yourself free. Come on and take a ride with me. You know what you need to know and what's it all about. Everything you need, it's on the Clip Out.
Welcome to the Clip Out Podcast, episode 360. This is Crystal O'Keefe.
And this is Tom O'Keefe. Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I know you've been doing some heavy lifting lately.
I have, yeah. For people who are listening, they might be like, what? I'm trying this new program that's like Haley Happens Fitness or something. This is not an ad, by the way. The reason that I wanted to try it was because Haley did the program in combination with Stacey Sims, and they specifically did it for women to lift heavy and get a lot of power out of that lifting for women who were perimenopausal and menopausal. So I have been kind of checking it out. And right. So between running and doing that, it's been a lot.
Yeah.
So I am officially tired, but it's really cool because I can use the Tonal to then program all of the weight sections, or almost all the weight sections. There's some stuff that like I can't do because I need a dumbbell for.
Right. Or, there's no kettlebell replication on a Tonal.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So there's a few things that I do off Tonal, but most of it I've been able to do a custom workout, build in the same setup, but then have Tonal do it. And it's also cool because since it's Tonal, it's like, here's your reps. Here's the weight you should be lifting for this amount of reps.
You're ready to up your weight. Go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool because it totally told me the other day in the middle of a set, it was like, here you go. You increased. And I was like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't have done that on my own.
Yeah. Who would? Right.
Exactly.
I mean, nobody, especially mid workout, but it's so hard to know when it's time to up and Tonal, just like it's not an ad for Tonal either.
No, but it's not an ad for anything. But I am tired. And that is why.
And I'm excited. I don't know if we talked about this on the show. I had like my arm had been hurting for a few weeks.
Yeah. Like, I don't think we talked about it at all.
Yeah, like I guess tendonitis. I keep wanting to say tinnitus.
No, that's in your ear.
Yeah, but in your ear. Oh, see what I put up with? My therapy voice for no reason. But yeah, like it was never awful, but it just was like always there.
Yeah.
Like the first 3 or 4 years of my first marriage, then it got really awful. But I just couldn't make it go away. It didn't get worse, but it didn't get better. And I had one of those compression things and I didn't do anything.
It wasn't helping at all.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
And that was nothing. So now whenever I see somebody wearing one of those things, I'm going to be like, pfft.
Well, you don't know what their situation is.
No, I'm judging them and they're losers for wearing it. I have a data point of one and that's all I need to know.
Okay.
If the internet has taught me anything.
Okay.
My personal experience or what I think was my personal experience or what I believe to be true,
no matter what
other evidence is presented to me.
But you still believe in science, right?
So I finally went to the doctor.
Yeah. And they were like, here, take some muscle relaxers.
Yeah. They're
and
like,
you took it in like
OxyContin.
Don't tell people that.
No, I did not. I'm not taking that.
And then 10 minutes later, you were like, look, I can lift my arm above my head.
I mean, it really was. I was like, and it was just like a leave and a muscle relaxer.
It
like,
wasn't anything crazy.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, wow. Like it like instantly fixed it. I waited 6 weeks for that.
See, should have went to the doctor.
Well, I made the appointment 4 weeks ago.
I know it is like, so hard to get into the doctor.
So, but anyway, that's our personal journey. So you're talking about getting old.
Yeah.
My bursitis.
I've got a plan just for the perimenopause. Got your bursitis and I've got that. So
what pray tell do you have in store for people this week?
Well, we're going to continue our bingo journey. So
Let's do that call.
Okay. Let's get it out. Let's do that now before we forget.
Okay.
Okay. Bingo number one this week is Alex Toussaint.
There you go.
We did it.
Yes.
All right. Whew. Got it done.
Okay.
Okay. And we're also, we have a tons of news about Peloton. We have tons of things to talk to you about.
Oh, do we ever.
So we're going to get into all that. We've got a lot of content to discuss as well. And we also have lots of instructor news. There's mm-hmm. quite a few things going on with the instructors. And we have a visit from Angelo.
He has returned.
He has returned.
Yes.
And we will talk to him about somebody eating well, but still gaining weight.
What gives?
Exactly.
I feel like we've all been there.
I know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I feel like a lot of people can relate to that. We also talk about the latest artist series. We've got some competitor news and lots more, including birthdays and in case you missed it.
Well, before we get to all that shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. That's super helpful and greatly appreciated. You can also watch us on YouTube at youtube.com/theclipout. You can find us on Facebook if you want to stay up to date on things throughout the week at facebook.com/theclipout. While you're there, like the page, join the group. You can get our newsletter where we send you the links and everything. As I'm saying this, I realize I did not send out last week's.
Whoopsie doodle.
It's because
you started doing it on Monday.
It's because I always do the show prep for real spoilers and the newsletter at the same time.
Oh, and you did it early this week because Saturday is when you recorded, not Sunday.
But we had to record on Saturday this week for real spoilers instead of Sunday because of church.
Right. Right. Okay.
And so I just totally forgot to do it. So my apologies.
Yeah.
So
I know where Brian gets it from.
Yeah. Who's Brian? No, what? Oh, no, I remember. Yeah. A tall, thin guy plays Xbox. Yeah, it's coming back to me. So you can also find our Patreon at patreon.com/theclipout. And it's just a great way to support the show if you have the means. We are super grateful for the people that do. It's $5 a month. We try to keep it cheap. And it just goes to covering costs like website support and getting the articles written and the microphones and the web hosting and all that. What that gets you, if we get an episode early, you get it early. Last week you did not get it early.
got it a little early.
A little early, but last week was a little crazy.
It was very crazy.
Don't blame us, blame Barry McCarthy.
Yeah.
But you also get ad-free episodes, and every week we record extra content. It's like a whole other show. It's just living over there waiting for you, and just all the stuff that we didn't have time to get to in this week's episode. So we do that every week. It's like 20-25 minutes of extra content. So hopefully if you have the means, we'd love to have you. So There's all that. Let's dig in, shall we?
We shall.
Peloton in the news.
CNBC reported this week that private equity firms are circling Peloton.
Gasp. I picture like when I go on a hike and all the vultures are circling something.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I was picturing sharks.
Okay.
But same thing.
Same thing.
Different metaphor, same meaning.
Yes.
Something's waiting to strike a wounded beast.
You know what's interesting about this is that everyone keeps asking Peloton for a comment and they keep not giving one.
Yeah. That seems like a comment, don't it?
It does. Sure does.
Yeah.
In the past, when, for example, Barry first started working at Peloton, everyone was like, oh, you're going to sell. And he was like, no, we're
not. Absolutely not.
Not selling. Why did I come here to sell? That wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And now Peloton is saying nothing. So I don't know. I will also say their communications is different. Every time they go through leadership changes, it's different. They have a different, Ben, who was their communications person before, he was very proactive.
Yes, he was.
And they don't have that anymore.
No, they don't.
And they have not replaced Ben. And I don't think they're gonna.
Well, and I think some of it, too, is I'm sure the people that are supposed to do the speaking don't want to say anything because they don't know what the new regime is going to want. And so if you're kind of already on the record saying something that screws something
up. That's true. That is a very good point.
Who wants to go down that road?
So let's just cover real quick why this is different than what everybody's been saying for years about somebody buying Peloton, like Apple.
For sure.
Google.
So first thing, we don't do anything around here real quick.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is different. Like in the past, we've always poo-pooed this.
Yes.
And so the people who are right fighters on the internet, if this does come to fruition, will be like, See, I told you, even though they've been saying it for 9 years and it's never come true.
Right.
It's like, you know,
Oh, I'm familiar, Tom. Yeah. You don't have to tell me.
Yes. But this time is different because this is, I think, overall the weakest position Peloton has ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a brand name that. Mm-hmm. For all of the damage that they've gone through or taken, is still the industry leader.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And so that brand name has a lot of value.
It does.
More so than a Nordic Track or definitely an Echelon or what have you, whatever else is out there. So this is a very, very different situation. I can't help but wonder, because Barry McCarthy was very vocal about not selling. And we've wondered, like, what was the precipitating factor to his professional demise? And you got to wonder if the board was like, we need to bring in a private equity firm because we're bleeding and we don't know how to stop it. And he said no. And they said, go.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Yours rhymed better.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You stepped on my rhyme.
Sorry.
But yeah, like I wonder if they were just like, no, dude, get out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. It's tough not to speculate, right? But there's still, with every company, so much we don't know.
For
and
sure.
Particularly at this particular time, they're being so buttoned up about everything that I'm not saying that you're wrong. At all. Like, I think it's a very, very good theory.
It's hard to land anywhere else
because,
you know, if you look back at when he left, there's no major thing that occurred that is public knowledge anyway.
Right.
That
right.
You're like, oh, he got caught drinking and driving
right,
or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, there's nothing like that. Or even professionally, there's nothing like that. Like, he made this epically single bad decision. And, you know, so I really kind of keep landing there.
Well, I think what is more like striking to me mm-hmm. is just that this feels different regardless.
It does.
And that for the first time, like, I could see it happening.
Yeah.
Like, I've never really been convinced that Apple was ever going to buy Peloton. Like, I've heard that for years.
Yeah.
I'm just so tired of hearing it. But I do think this could happen, and
not necessarily Apple, but
no.
Sale.
I think a sale to a private equity firm could happen. And one of the reasons that makes it different is because they would go back to being a private entity. They would be taken off the public stock market and they would be privately held. The benefit to that would be that they would no longer be beholden to the whims of the stock market. And
right.
I do mean whim.
Yes.
I use that word very purposefully. God, they're brats over there. and really, I think that is a good thing. You know, I will say on the record that over the years, I was a huge supporter of Peloton going public. And people said, hey, it'll change. It won't be the same. This
yeah.
is a bad idea. Looking back, they're right.
Yeah.
I mean, if now that you have history on the side, it's real easy to see. They
yeah.
were right.
That's how we know you're not one of the
right fighters.
Finance bros.
Oh,
because you're
right.
Like, oh, yeah, I was wrong.
There's a lot of reasons I'm different, but
yes.
that is definitely one of them. Yes, I can admit when I was wrong.
Yeah.
And I was, because now that I see all the things that and I also see how the pressure on them, no matter what they do, no matter what steps they take forward, it's never enough. And so
speaking of my first marriage.
And I think it's interesting, and it really it's very fascinating to me that the shareholders are so excited about it on Wall Street, because when I hear you could do this a different way. A private equity firm could also stay on the stock market and mm-hmm. just they own different percentages. Like
right.
that could be part of it too. So it could stay public. But it's interesting that the stock market responded positively when it's also possible that they could go private and they would not have those shares at all. I'm like, well, if that's what you want, I guess.
But they got to buy them back, don't they? So like,
I guess.
I don't think they just void. I don't know. This is so out
know.
Of my wheelhouse. I thought if they take it private, they still have to like purchase back everyone's stock.
That could be. But you could also dilute them further. I talk about getting out of your depth
yeah.
here. I think you can also like add a bunch of shares and stuff and
gotcha.
Like make it worthless. So But that's probably illegal, right?
If it screws the common investor, no, it's not illegal. I know nothing about the stock market, but I know this. If the average man or woman is going to get fucked, it's perfectly legal.
But regardless of which of those scenarios could happen, what the benefit is to the stock market, this feels different because it's more likely that a small ownership would take over rather than a giant corporation.
Yeah.
And there was an article this week in just came out today, Fortune magazine, and it talks about all of these different companies, and the name of the game is adaptation. And they name several companies, mm-hmm. one of which is Peloton, and they talk about how they didn't adapt fast enough because right. they adapted the wrong direction. They adapted to what they thought life was going to be, and it wasn't.
Right.
But they also talk about several examples of companies that are more nimble, mm-hmm. you know, and they give some examples. I thought it was interesting that they talk about this in the sense that going forward, it's going to be hyper growth. That's where the world is headed. And that means companies are going to have to do hyper adaptation. When a company gets so big, it becomes very difficult yeah. to change direction
yeah.
because the machine has already gone forward.
Right.
And the bigger the company is, the harder that is.
Yeah.
So taking it backwards would actually be a good thing.
But then if you take it back, let's say you take it backwards and you succeed,
mm-hmm.
then what is the goal? That you stay in that privately held realm, or do you hope to push it back out for an IPO again?
If it were me, I would not put it back out if you take it off the stock market, but
it's just we're private now.
Yes, that
suck it.
After what happened, that's yeah. where I would stand. But I am also a cautious person. And yeah. I'm not the CEO for a reason, many reasons.
Yeah.
So a person who has a bigger risk tolerance might take a different look.
But you also think you'd have a hard time convincing people to buy again.
But again, it's all about the money because right. now you're talking to the board and the major shareholders mm-hmm. and they could stand to make a lot of money by selling it or right. by putting it on the stock market. So I don't know. But regardless of that, even if you kept it on the stock market and you just got smaller,
right.
you still, I think that would be a benefit. Even mm-hmm. if it stays public, I still think it would be a benefit because you could go backwards and have and be leaner and meaner. But that's also hard to do. Your culture has already grown going forward. How do you bring people back to a startup feel when you have no startup people?
Right.
The startup people are largely gone.
Yeah, they all left.
Right. So how do you get to that? You kind of have to start from scratch over again. And I don't think that that's going to happen.
Right.
So I also can't help but wonder what would that do to the other pillars? So you've got your bike, which is the standard pillar. But what about the row? What about the tread? And I worry about a private equity firm. You know, all of these articles say that what they want to do is cut operating expenses. There's already a plan in place to cut operating expenses by another 15%.
Right.
So how do you cut them more?
Where do those cuts
the
come
only
from?
Place that there is left is instructors.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no other place that has fluff
and
anymore.
I don't know that there's enough savings there with getting rid of instructors.
I mean, those instructors got to make north of $1 million a year.
I'm sure the top tier ones mm-hmm. do. But those are all, you know, your biggest salaries are also your biggest stars.
That's true.
You know,
I will also say, and this is my personal opinion, I don't really care if people disagree with me. There are some people that could go like their opinions of themselves have gotten to the point that like it's no longer serving the community. Yeah. It's all about them all the time.
And I think there are a lot of people who are. There are some, a lot might be overstating. There are certainly instructors who seem like perhaps they already have one foot out the door
yep.
or one eye on their next chapter.
Mm-hmm.
But as it stands, if you want to remain a fitness instructor, there is no better place to be or more successful
Absolutely.
Place to be.
Absolutely. There are instructors that could easily pivot to another market.
Yeah.
And I think during our bonus episode, we'll probably get into that
yeah.
more, some of our thoughts on that, just because that's going to go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
For sure.
But yeah. Okay, well, maybe we'll save like, what does it look like
yeah.
under a private equity firm? We'll
yeah.
talk about that in the bonus.
Yeah.
So we can get into the rest of the stuff of the week.
I think the real big takeaway that I would like to leave people with is, one, it's not necessarily going to be a bad thing if this happens.
Yeah.
Two, I think that it's possible this is going to happen. And I don't know that we should all be scared of it or think that the sky is falling and it's all gloom and doom. Sometimes, just like the instructors tell us, sometimes the doors are closed, make way for a new one to open. Yeah. So I don't know that we should just assume just because it's change that it's going to be bad.
Well, while all that is transpiring, Peloton has interim co-CEOs.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about these two last week, but I just thought that we would touch on this real quick, that their background. So Karen Boone, she has been in a financial leadership and administrative role. She's been the leader in both of those places. So president, chief financial administrative officer at Restoration Hardware. And she was there for a couple of years, but she also was at Deloitte. And Toish, is that how you say it?
I have no idea.
She was at Deloitte, which is an accounting and consulting firm. And she was there from 1996 through 2012. She did a whole bunch of different roles, but her culminating role was an audit partner. And so she's got a Bachelor of Science in Business Economics from University of California, Davis. And she's been part of the board of directors since January 19. So just before the whole craziness began.
So she was there from 96 to 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Is this picture 15 years old? She doesn't look old enough to have.
I asked no questions about. I'm not going to ask that. I don't know.
Her
hair looks modern. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Like, I just looking at the picture, I would not guess that she was old enough to have been working professionally at that level for that long.
Well, I don't think she was working at that level long.
But yeah, but that's almost 30 years ago. I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, hat tip.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I'm not complaining.
Karen Boone, Tom O'Keefe has a crush on you.
I did not say that either. I said she looks very young.
She has great skin, yeah. and she's very pretty. So I can understand what you're saying, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, for all I know, she just, you know, has great skin, and maybe she got a little, you know, little touch ups.
She's just got lucky genetics.
Oh, my God. That's lucky for sure. Then we have Chris Bruzzo. So
you look great, too, Chris, just for the record. I'm sure he's listening.
Chris Bruzzo, Tom O'Keefe has a crush on you.
I absolutely have a crush on Chris Bruzzo.
Well, so he was at Electronic Arts, and he was the executive vice president and chief experience officer.
Is that EA Games?
Yes.
Is that what Electronic Arts is? Okay.
And then before that, he also had a bunch of different roles in marketing and communications at Starbucks, Amazon, and Regions Blue Shield. He is also a member of the Latino Corporate Directors Association, and he's on the MoneyGram boards, Boot Barn Holdings. Don't know what that is, but he's a graduate of Whitworth University, 1991. He had a BA in political studies.
I don't know what that is, but Whitworth sounds fancy.
It does sound fancy. Oh, I forgot to mention that Karen Boone is also a board of director member of Rivian Automotive, Sonos Inc., and a bunch of private firms like Tory Burch, Cliff Bar, and Collective Health. So she's a busy lady.
It sounds it.
Yeah. So we've got some very talented individuals that are leading the helm at Peloton.
And there were also, in the middle of all this, SEC filings. And so we have some info about severance packages?
We do. So first of all, Karen and Chris are very talented. Are they talented enough to each individually get $150,000 a month?
I think at that level, that's the going rate, I guess.
Holy shit.
I know, right?
My God. I mean, you cannot be in any hurry to figure that out, right? Take your time finding the new guy or gal. Take your time. Take your time.
But I guess it's also like, it's kind of a thankless job.
It is a thankless job.
So I guess you have to, if you want someone.
There are a lot of thankless jobs. There are teachers. Yeah. There are firefighters. There are ambulance drivers. There are grocery store workers. Yeah. Not one of them. $150,000 a month. I said a month. I did not say annually.
Yeah.
A month.
And that's on top of what they're already making, right?
Or is I don't that, know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if you get compensated for being a board member in a traditional way. Like you might get shares or something. I don't know.
Why else would you do it?
I don't know. For the esteem. I don't know.
I think at that point you don't want to get paid in esteem. You want to get paid in cash.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But
yeah, that's not nothing.
Boy, you got that right.
And what about Barry Severance?
Okay, so as far as Barry McCarthy, he gets a $50,000 payment for the initial 3 months and then a $5,000 monthly payment for the remaining period. He is also, pending board approval, receiving a stock option award valued at $3 million, vesting monthly until the transition date.
$3 million in stock, that would be all of the stock. That would be all. No, I'm kidding.
Upon completion of his service and contingent on executing a release of claims, McCarthy is eligible for $1.2 million cash payment and a cost equivalent for up to 12 months of health insurance. He will also benefit from an accelerated vesting of all outstanding stock options, excluding the advisor award, which remain exercisable until December 31st. 2027.
But if it makes you feel any better, if you're grousing about that, he does have to start paying for his own Peloton membership. So there's that you can take comfort in. And well, also, just to be clear, I totally made that up.
Of course you did. So going back to the interim co-CEOs.
Yes.
Not only do they get their $150,000 base, but if the board endorses it, they are also awarded $450,000 in restricted stock units, vesting over 3 months.
I think all their stock is restricted right now. That's the problem.
Notably, here you go. Nikki had you covered. Neither Boone nor Brozo will receive additional compensation for their board service while acting as interim co-CEOs. There you go.
Okay. But so I guess you do get paid to be on the board, but
just
while,
not during this.
But while they're CEOs, you can't do both.
That is what this indicates.
I guess that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, money, 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 money.
Yes. For some people.
Yeah.
So Peloton has multiple plans for Mental Health Awareness Month.
They sure do. So the goal here is to do a new challenge. 20 million minutes in 24 hours.
Okay.
So in theory, they are going to have a time period. It's going to start, I think it's like 12:30 p.m. Eastern on May 17th through 12:30 p.m. Eastern on May 18th. The community is invited to collectively achieve 20 million minutes of exercise in 24 hours. That's incredible.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. The idea is, obviously, personal benefits for each of us participating, but it's going to support a greater mission. So there's going to be two classes to kind of kick this off. There's going to be 11:30 a.m. Eastern. There's going to be 30-minute, 20 million minutes challenge walk plus run, and that is going to be a 2-for-1 with Alex Toussaint and Adrian Williams. And then at noon on the 18th, same day, there's going to be a 2-for-1 ride with Camilla and Tunde. And then upon hitting the goal, because we will, gosh darn it, Peloton will honor its commitment to Project Healthy Minds, showcasing the power of collective action towards a meaningful cause. So we can all join in and be part of that. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's also a video chat coming up. I deleted I forgot.
Oh,
well,
let me finish two little notes on this and then we will get to that. I just wanted to say there was an update that came out in the press release that Cleveland Browns Miles Garrett and Connecticut Suns Brianna Jones are encouraging members and beyond to come together. And they have friends of Peloton, including New York Jets linebacker Jermaine Johnson, defensive tackle Quincy Williams, running back Breece Hall, linebacker Kayvon Thibodeau, and Philadelphia Eagles cornerback James Bradbury IV will be live at Peloton Studio and virtually on the leaderboard on May 18th to support the cause. They're also going to do a big music thing. There is a special playlist called Mindful Music that will be available to the public, and it is also going to be on the Peloton and Warner Music Group Spotify accounts.
Awesome.
So lots of cool stuff happening. Okay,
absolutely.
Sorry. Cut you off there, Tom.
Oh, there's a video conference. I forget what it is because I deleted the image that was used by. I forgot to add it to the thing.
Oh, well, I think
It was with Adrian Williams.
It's Camila Ramone.
There we go.
And Adrian Williams. So this is going to take place Wednesday, May 15th. So next Wednesday, 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a 45-minute chat. They're going to share, those two are going to share their journeys about self-care, mental resilience. resilience. And also their overall mental wellness. And then Dr. David P. Riviera from Peloton's longstanding mental health partner, the Steve Fund, is going to be moderating. So you can join or you can RSVP for that anytime. We have an article about that out on the website as well.
Awesome. Peloton is going country.
They sure are. There's a new series called Rising Country. It's going to have curated playlists from your favorite instructors filled with the latest and greatest stars of the country music scene. First up, there is going to be a class by Ali Love that is putting the playlist together.
Okay. Are there Peloton instructors who really dig country? I don't really feel like I see.
Selena does.
Okay.
Selena, like, genuinely likes country.
Right.
There are other instructors who will do country music.
Sure.
Matt Wilpers does country. Jen Sherman has done one here and there, and she's come around on country music, but it's not her go-to for
right.
sure. I'm trying to think. I know there's a few others. Allie does them, but I don't think that's her go-to either. But I know Selena and Matt actually like it. Alex K on the row does do them, but I don't think it's his go-to either.
Yeah.
Like, he's made comments like, why do I keep doing all these? Why
yeah,
do I keep getting
like,
assigned these country playlists?
Yeah, like, I don't feel like I see the Peloton instructors talking about country music all that much. I was just curious.
Oh, Hannah Corbin, she also does country.
Okay.
She likes country a lot. So.
Awesome. I know for a long time, there was almost no country music on the platform,
mm-hmm.
and that was one of the things people
complained about,
asked for the most.
Yes, and they have absolutely added a lot more country playlists, for sure.
Peloton and the New York Roadrunners Club are hosting the shakeout run for the upcoming Brooklyn Half.
They sure are. And so it's going to be on May 17th. So that's going to be a busy weekend.
Yeah.
The event kicks off at 9:45 a.m. at the Brooklyn Bridge Park Pier 2. And Matt Wilpers and Marcel Dinkins will be there. They will be leading the charge. They will have a motivational welcome. They will have a 5-minute warm up. And then there's going to be a 10-minute stretch session after the shakeout run. There's also going to be... you get to craft your own cheer sign.
Okay.
You get to enjoy some delicious snacks. And of course, you get to meet your coaches. The tickets are only $35 a piece plus tax. And there's a limit of one ticket per order and one order per guest. So you better get on it,
yeah.
is what we're saying.
It might be gone by the time you're hearing this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it is.
And if you're a Patreon subscriber, the show's continues immediately, but for everyone else, stick around. We're going to talk to Angelo. He's back. He's going to answer the question, I'm eating well, but I'm still gaining weight. What up with that? So stick around.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Clip out.
Joining us today via the magic of a Zoom tube from MetPro, it's Angelo here to answer all of your fitness and nutrition questions.
Welcome
Hello.
Welcome back.
It was great to be back, you guys. Thrilled to be here.
He grew a beard during his hiatus.
I know.
It was a hairy hiatus.
Well, just the lower half.
Oh, goodness. Well,
later I'll tell you the real reason for the beard. This is an entertaining story.
Okay. Get to behind the scenes. All right. Okay. Well, I want to start with a question from Jenny Miguel Martinez. We'll just call her Jenny. That's easier.
Jenny.
So Jenny is struggling with her nutrition because she feels like even though she's working out every day, she's still gaining weight. So I asked her some follow-up questions because I know that you would have them. And she says every morning after her workout, she drinks a protein shake and a coffee. That's at 6 a.m. At 10 a.m., she has a banana protein bar. And then at noon, she has a chicken wrap with cheese made at home and coffee again. And then when she gets home, she works out again. And then she has yogurt with strawberries and blueberries. And that's her day. So I guess that would be her dinner.
She's doing two a days like a football player.
Yes. Yes. And I suspect, I know where Angela's going to go with this, but I have some thoughts.
The evil grin from Angelo. It looks even more evil with the beard.
It does.
So you said at noon she's doing usually like a chicken wrap.
Yes. Yes.
And then at dinner is where she's getting like a yogurt with
strawberries and blueberries. Yep.
Okay. Yogurt with berries.
And chicken wraps are offensive because you know what rhymes with cluck.
Tom.
Well, those chicken wrappers. Every other word. It's cluck this, cluck that.
So this is a good starting point. But obviously there is something in here that is, she's in not an energy deficit.
Yeah.
So it's not as simple as, oh, just eat less, because that becomes a little tricky. So the two grandfather techniques when weight loss is your goal is calorie restriction. So basically adjusting your calories down from where your maintenance is. Your maintenance is, and here's the trick, your maintenance is not some mathematical equation that all the, you know, the apps that say enter your goal weight, enter what, you know, and then they tell you, here's your maintenance caloric intake. That's a nice starting point if you don't have any more information, but that's a starting point as big as the side of the barn. it's just a, that's a huge, huge, and the reality is we have studies now that track people's metabolic rates that is keeping them in maintenance. And you would be shocked that like some of these studies are showing that between, you know, you can have a guy about my size and they can vary between like 1450 calories to maintain all the way up to like 3900 calories. So when we're saying here's the range your body is in, take that with an enormous grain of salt. So what you have to do is figure out what intake calorically is maintaining you and then downward adjusting from there. The problem is, as many people who've been chronically dieting or yo-yo dieting, if your metabolism is slowing, you may find there's not excess calories to take. So all is not lost. That's where we can manipulate your macronutrients. So perhaps not drastically reducing calories or just moderately reducing calories, but adjusting the ratio, the source, and even the timing. And the combination of those things together will get the ball rolling for you. So what I would do is right now, Jenny, your meal plan is filled with good, healthy individual items, but you have a little bit of an identity crisis. So some of your meals are high protein and some are all over the place. Some have high fat, some have a combination of protein, carbs, and fats. And so what I would endeavor to do is within the approximate caloric range of your current intake level, I would want to restructure your macronutrients a little bit. I would try and pull those carbs, even though, yes, for drinking the protein shake post-workout is an ideal thing. I would actually, for the sake of your weight loss goals, move some of the carbohydrates that you're getting from the banana, what's she getting at 10 o'clock?
Banana protein bar.
That's probably not helping you a whole lot. There's probably other options you can get and move those carbs earlier in the day, perhaps even along with that protein shake. And then in the evening, keeping the carbs a little bit lower. And so when I have many other clients that have experienced very similar scenarios where they're exercising, they're eating quote unquote clean. And so what I will do with them is I will take through a process at NetPro we call baseline testing. And so that's to establish without any guesswork, beyond any doubt, really where your metabolic rate is at by having you eat similar items for just a few days and then tracking your results. That enables us to determine how much of the carbohydrates we need to pull or how much we need to move and how much protein, fats, carbs, et cetera, we need to create enough of a change from what your body's currently used to to affect weight loss. So that would be my recommendation, is track this over a few days and then see what the ratios are. And you can possibly readjust those ratios. This would be the type of scenario, Jenny, that we would love to visit with you about, and give you some personalized help if that's what you need, even if you just want some advice once we know what those ratios are. But this is something anyone can do on their own. Just track. And then when you have that information, look at calories first. If you don't have a bunch of room there, look to reduce some carbohydrates without changing calories and take them from the end of the day first. That's a starting point. And then consistency with the exercise, aerobic activity, Peloton should be part of your daily routine, is going to be great, is absolutely going to help, and you're going to be on the road to success. So
awesome. Well, thank you very much for all that. And if people would like this information tailor-made for them or to talk to you or Crystal, where can they find you guys?
You can find us at metpro.co/TCO. We'd love to talk to you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks.
Instructors in the news.
The Met Gala was this week.
It was.
Which I don't even, what is, I don't, you know what?
Okay.
I don't even know what the Met Gala is. I just know it's where rich people go to wear weird clothes and have their pictures taken.
Yes.
It doesn't do anything else?
It does, actually. Okay. They are raising money for the Met. It's like a fundraiser. It's like a giant fundraiser.
Okay.
And there's always a theme, and that's why they're wearing weird clothes, because in theory, the clothes should meet the theme.
Gotcha.
And if you don't, you will be publicly humiliated on all of the socials.
Well, you'll be publicly humiliated on half the socials, and then the other half will publicly humiliate you for wearing the weird outfit that they want you to wear.
Okay, that's true. That is true.
No matter what, half the internet's going to mock you.
That's fair.
Just pick the half you like better and go with that.
But the Met is the Metropolitan Museum of Art. For people listening who have never heard of it, never been to New York, have no idea what that is, that's what it is. Okay. Yeah.
So Hannah Corbin was there and she performed.
Okay. I mean, I just think that we have to do this with bigger fanfare. Okay. Because like she was there. Yes. But she was a backup dancer for Ariana Grande. That's freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, holy cow. Because a few weeks ago, she teased that she had booked something, but she didn't say what it was.
Yeah.
But apparently, it was a really big opportunity.
I find it interesting that an artist like Ariana Grande doesn't kind of have her own team of dancers on retainer.
Well,
that she would like go out and basically hire people for an event to learn a thing. And like, it wouldn't be like, this is my touring group and I bring in my touring group to do things, you know?
That's a good question. I don't know. I have no idea. This is not my jam. This is not my thing. This is nothing that I would have any interest in following.
Same.
But I would say that it's also possible that this was just a one-off. She may not even be touring right now. And so there may not be.
She didn't have.
Yeah. Like they weren't like ready.
You know? Yeah.
And they like invited her and she was like, oh, okay, well then I'm going to need this. And then they did that.
Gotcha.
I have no idea. But get this though.
Yes.
The invited guests paid $75,000 a ticket. A 10-person table started at $350,000. So when you say rich people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
These aren't just people that are doing okay.
No.
This isn't like.
This is FU money.
This isn't like, I think I'm going to join the Disney Vacation Club. This is. I shit money.
There's always a big performer. And in fact, some of the past performers have been Cher, Madonna, Lady Gaga, and Rihanna. So that's really cool, though. Yeah. And we have pictures. There's a video. Like, she was right behind her. And, of course, got an amazing selfie with Ariana Grande. I mean, how cool. Just huge congrats to Hannah.
Yeah, that is really cool. Also, Robin Arzon was there.
Yeah, well,
I will let you describe her outfit, especially since I just got chastised for just commenting that a woman looked younger than I would have thought. That was it.
I was teasing you.
And I was just like, this woman looks younger than I would have thought based on her resume. And her LinkedIn would lead me to believe that she would look older than this, but she does not. Well done to you, ma'am. And
okay,
so
I was joking.
I'm not even going to touch the Robin Arzon photo.
But I think it's also important to say that this was at the after party. I am not clear if Robin was at the gala. I'm not saying she wasn't.
Gotcha.
I did not see any pictures of her except the after party.
Okay.
That does not mean she was not there.
Right.
but she was at the after party.
Okay.
There was a Cosmo article that like had, they like did a whole bunch of different lists. One of them was the most naked looks at the after party.
Okay.
And Robin Arzon was featured because her dress was completely sheer.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to know what Robin Arzon looked like naked,
this gets you,
we gotcha.
Gets you 98% of the way there.
I would say 99.
Yeah.
So I just want to be clear. So it was at the after party,
was
though.
Was this list ranked?
No.
I was just curious because if she wasn't number one, what did it take?
I don't remember the woman's name because it was some person I don't follow. But I'll tell you which one that was outdid it, though.
Yeah.
Completely sheer front and back. And it had like, you know, those beaded curtains from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
That was her cape.
OK.
On the back.
Gotcha.
And there was a tiny, 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 tiny little triangle down below.
A Brazilian 70s bead.
Yeah, that was it.
Curtain.
Everything else was all out there.
Gotcha.
And it looked like she was just walking around naked because the bodysuit that she was wearing was meant to be skin toned and it matched her skin tone.
It matched her specific skin tone.
It did.
Yeah.
And so it literally looked like she was just walking around with a cape and naked.
Okay.
So that is one of the dresses that outdid Robin's level of bearing it all.
Gotcha.
And maybe the theme was bearing it all. I don't know. Maybe there is a theme for the after party.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a world I don't live in.
The theme is donate so much money you can no longer afford clothes. That's the theme.
Literally give us the clothes off your back.
Yes.
Well, I am amused by this because this is a world I do not understand.
Same.
I don't get it, but they all look like they were having fun. And it is definitely known as like the fashion event of the year.
I know it's a big deal. It's like, yeah, it looks like the sort of party that like spies always end up at.
I will say Cardi B's dress was stunning. Like it had this 360 degree train on it. Okay. And the train took up the size of this room and it went all the way around her. So when she twisted and like stood kind of at an angle,
mm-hmm.
the whole dress twisted and it took a whole team of men to spread it out around her. But my God, was it a statement? Like it was the most beautiful dress I've ever seen. It was gorgeous.
I mean, they got to take that off as soon as they get their picture taken, right? You can't wander around the rest of the night like that.
I don't know.
I just
look, if you got that kind of money, you're getting paid. So I guess you just got to be in pain all the time.
So look,
I don't know.
Met Gala. I'm not going to ever attend unless
I don't think we were ever in danger of an invite and that we could afford a $75,000 ticket.
The theme is hoodies. If the theme that year is hoodies, I will choose to grace you with my presence. But I'm not wearing pants.
Donald Duck.
In solidarity with Robin Arzon. I was really thinking more like Winnie the Pooh.
Okay.
I'm more of a Winnie the Pooh than a Donald Duck. I think we all know that. But yes, hoodies, no pants. I'll go to the Met Gala.
Okay.
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 Speaking of hoodies, Jess Sims has a hoodie out for people.
She does. So big news this week. You know, it's always been the Saturday 60. The Saturday 60 is no more because it has been rebranded as Sims 60. That has now all the apparel has dropped in the apparel store. There's two different colors of sweats that you can get that now say Sims 60 instead of Saturday 60.
Okay.
And also, I just got to say that also means Saturday 60 is not necessarily on a Saturday. For the foreseeable future, it will now be on Sundays.
She's
and who knows going
other things
forward
to do here.
She does. It's a very, very polarizing discussion, though. Some people are very happy. Some people are very upset.
Maddie Maggiacomo is raising money for not one, but two charities coming up.
Yes, it's his birthday month. May is his birthday month. And his way of celebrating is to give back, which I think is really cool.
For sure.
So he's raising money for two different things. One is Muddy Paws Rescue of New York City. And then the other one is Culture for One. The Muddy Paws thing is he's raising $1,000 and he has the fundraiser is called Nana's Pack. for his dog, Nana.
That's where he got his dog from.
It is. Yeah. Yes, that is exactly right. And so you can support that. You can donate. And then he also has an event that he's going to be attending. It's the third annual spring fundraiser for Culture for One. And that is May 8th, 7 to 10 p.m. And again, Maddie will be there. So if you've been looking for your opportunity to meet Maddie, this could be it.
And
so,
help a good cause.
Absolutely.
Maybe even get a tax deduction.
Yeah, that's very true.
And Culture for One, if people are interested, helps kids in foster care have access to arts programs,
which is so important. So many places don't have arts. So that is very important and very helpful to kids who aren't into sports. I was one of those children.
I was two of those children. That's how much I was not into sports.
I mean, what would our kids have done if they didn't have music and theater and art? Like, they would have been miserable.
That's how I know I was. And coming up after this, we're going to talk about the latest artist series. And Equinox is launching a new membership plan targeted specifically at people who apparently attended the Met Gala. So we'll explain all that coming up next.
Man, there is nothing worse than when you buy a pair of sunglasses and then you lose or break them.
I would agree. So what do we do about that?
Well, that's where Gooder comes in. Their sunglasses are $25 each, so nobody likes to throw away $25, but it's a lot better than throwing away $100 or more dollars on a pair of broken sunglasses, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I have to say, that's not my favorite part about Gooder. My favorite part about Gooder is that when I run, they don't slip, they don't bounce, and they're 100% polarized. And they also come in like a million different colors and styles.
For your $25, you're not sacrificing comfort, safety, or style. If you want to support the show and pick up a pair, Gooder is giving the Clip Out listeners free shipping on their first order. Just go to gooder.com/TCO. That's GOODR.com and use code TCO to get free shipping.
Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. Find your pair at gooder.com/TCO and use code TCO to get free shipping.
Peloton Artist Collaboration.
This week's artist series, I can say this week, right? This is every week. It's never going to stop.
I mean,
for the longest time, it was like the latest. And I'm like, really, it's just this week's artist series.
It has definitely been that way for a while.
Yeah.
Things are a changing, though,
Tom. I keep thinking they're going to run out of artists, but apparently there's lots of artists I've never heard of.
That is true.
So that's what they're doing this week, which is Blackpink.
Yeah, but Blackpink is a huge deal.
I know because I looked them up last week because I was like, what is Blackpink?
Yeah.
Is it like a tribute artist to Pink, but she's black?
Nope.
But it's not.
No. Blackpink is a K-pop band, and that's Korean pop. And I mean, Korean pop is, K-pop huge. Is huge. It's just huge.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering, it's Blackpink, all one word. I did not know that. I had to be corrected.
Uh-oh.
So had to fix all the assets, but we did. So if you go looking for them and you have it in, it's two separate words. My guess is the good old internet will figure it out for you. But just in case, it's one word. Okay, so it's cool, though, because this is one of a few different musical artists that Peloton is highlighting for the Asian and Island Pacific
Heritage Month.
Yes, gotcha. I cannot ever get those initials right, like no matter how many times I say it. And anyway, so that is pretty darn cool. There's going to be six different classes, two rides. There's going to be there's going to be a run, a yoga, and a full body strength, and of course a row. So lots of different classes that you can be involved in.
Equinox has a new membership plan available to people.
They do. All you have to do is pay $40,000 a year. That's it.
But they'll break that up into 12 easy monthly installments for you, I'm sure.
I'm sure they will.
I'm sure.
I mean, listen, that is half the price of a Met Gala ticket. Half the price.
You know, when you look at it.
And you get it all year long.
When you look at it as a value proposition.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's got everything, though. Personal training, nutrition plans, sleep coaching, and massage therapy. So think of
this. That massage better have a happy ending for $40,000.
Oh, dear. So it's all inclusive of all the different kinds of things that you might need as far as all the different ways you might want to try to be healthy.
This is crazy town.
It is. I mean,
like $40,000 a year.
But listen, you also get a battery of tests, functional health tests. It's going to have 100 different biomarkers, including heart, liver, kidney health, metabolic, immune systems, cancer markers, nutrients, and their own fitness tests, including VO2 max, strength, and movement range. The tests are repeated twice a year. So they make it super personal. You get 3 60-minute training sessions per week with a top-level trainer, and you get 2 half-hour sessions a month with a nutrition coach, 2 half-hour sessions a month with a sleep coach, and 1 massage therapy session per month. 16 hours a month of coaching and training.
I am speechless. For real. Like, all I can think is this will probably upset somebody out there.
Pretty much everything we say is upset somebody.
That's fair. This is gross.
Is it? You think gross?
I think this is gross.
Why do you say gross?
$40,000. Like, if you have this kind of money and this is what you're spending it on, like, I hate to be that guy that's like, you know, you're not spending your own money the right way. But if you have enough money where you can do something like this, do something else with your money than $40,000 a year on. I mean, come on.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money for...
They say that it's the same as a Formula One or an athlete, where you're given the top experts in all the different verticals, and then you have like this super honed in program just for you. I mean, first of all, we don't have that kind of money. So no. I can't even like fathom thinking about it. Like, if somebody were just like, what do you want to spend $40,000 on this year? Just like, whatever, I'd be like, ooh, travel, or ooh, maybe a down payment on a different house, or ooh, you know, like that's where my brain
right.
would go.
Yeah.
Like, I would never be like more healthcare. Like, there's a lot of different
there
things.
Are people who have no healthcare.
Yeah.
And
that's
then
true.
There's somebody spending $40,000 a year for like hyper specific boutique fitness healthcare.
I'm real curious how these sell.
And I know they do these for athletes, and like, but that's also like, there's a lot of money on the line for those athletes, and those teams have decided that it's for them, it is a value proposition, right? But like, this is just, yeah,
gross.
It's gross.
Tom says it's gross.
And like, if you're doing this, you're not a good person.
Oh my God.
I don't know what else to say. I am speechless. If I'm wrong, if there's an angle I'm not seeing, but this is such a waste of money. Like, no one needs this level of care. If you needed this level of care, then like,
you know what would be interesting?
The Chicago Bulls will be providing it for you.
I wonder like how much hospice costs, or how much palliative care costs, because it's so expensive. And yeah, like, I'm just wondering how it compares.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, take care of your fitness, but like, come on.
You know what? If I had that much money, that $40,000 meant nothing to me.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. It's something I genuinely cannot imagine.
I cannot wrap my head around it on any level.
I know.
As you can clearly tell.
Yes.
I'm sure I will get yelled at.
Well, no, you won't, because they only send them to me.
Okay.
So
I'm sure I will get yelled at through you. But I don't know.
People haven't done that in a long time. I think they've given up.
They've given up that I'll change.
Yeah. They just left.
It's probably for the best.
They went for boring content with absolutely no personality.
There you go. New content. Okay, bingo number two.
Bingo number two.
Lest we forget.
Matt Wilpers.
There you go. Matt Wilpers.
Got it. Done. Check. We did it.
We did it. Once again, the listeners have come through and recommended their favorite classes, and then we've compiled them. It's the TCO Top 5. If you're looking for things to do, here are some suggestions.
Yeah. Favorite Peloton meditation. This was a 10-minute acceptance meditation from April 27th with Kristen McGee. And let's see here. Debbie Pino says, after weeks of searching, I finally found and retook this acceptance meditation. This is the most amazing meditation, filled with a simple yet soul nourishing mantra and message that will really hit home and benefit everyone. It's a true gem. Wow. That's great.
Yeah. Number two, favorite Peloton core strength.
Okay. This is a 10-minute core with Rebecca Kennedy from December of 23. And also, like I said, this is core. So we're going back a little ways. But Donna Markison says that she loves this class. She said she has, it's stackable and she's taken it at least 100 times. One really hard core workout and she utilizes every second. And it's great music. Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive, keeps it going.
Number three, your favorite Peloton climb.
Okay, so we have that new climb series.
Okay.
Palomar, so the climbs with Christine. And this is part one. Lots of people loved this class,
right.
Love this series. And this is from 429. Okay, so Elise Friedman says she loved the music and the way she cued everything. I enjoyed how she broke it down, each area of the climb, such as the sections of the climb. Looking forward to doing the second part later this week. Gwendolyn Dawson said it's challenging but doable. She did a 10-minute warm-up before and a cool down afterwards. They were also great. And then one other person said, Claudia Garcia said it was challenging, but the coaching was excellent and it never felt impossible. And so that's going to be a fan favorite, I think. We've got lots of people really excited about those.
Oh, that's awesome. Number four, favorite Peloton ride.
The Glorious Gospel Ride is back. So this is with Cliff Dwenger. May 5th, he had a 30-minute one, and people were so excited it was back. Deborah Anzalone, who's a past guest, by the way, she said, Cliff's latest gospel ride was another awesome, uplifting ride. Loved it. So pumped. Just what I needed on a Monday evening.
And then finally, your favorite unstackable.
Listen, this was hands down the most unstackable. Like, it was the obvious unstackable for this week.
I figure whatever this is must be hard, because I would think like the climb thing would be pretty unstackable.
90-minute run with Mariana Fernandez.
That'd do it.
And it was her first 90-minute run on the platform. It took place on the 2nd. Okay, so we had a lot of people really love this. Karantina Fujenga says, I'm sure I just messed up her name. So sorry. She said that the run fit both best class of her week and an unstackable. She had awesome music, cues, stories, and heart. She said it made her say, Martia on the tread, please. Absolutely. I loved this class. If you need a good heartbreak story that has a comeback, you need to take this class. Like, it was so, I literally was outside running. I stopped running and sent a message to Mariana in the middle of it to tell her how much I appreciated her open heart during this run. It was an amazing story. And all of her stories always are, but it just got me in the feels. And I don't often cry outdoors running, but oh, she got me. She got me. So everyone needs to take that class, not because I expect you to cry, but it was great. 90 minutes. Lovely.
Okay. And then coming up, we'll take a look at this week at Peloton. So what do they got?
All right.
Well, we already talked about new class type of Rising Country.
We did. We've also got some new mobility classes. There's going to be more options dropping that are going to be English and German. Some from Maddie Majacomo, Eric Yeager, and Irene Kamer. Those dropped this week. And Peloton has promised new mobility classes every Tuesday in the month of May. So think of it as mobility. May mobility.
Okay. We have a Defected Records ride.
Yes. So again, that's the hit-making British independent record label. There's going to be a House Defected Records ride with Hannah Frankson, and it's going to take place live Friday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, so 6:30 p.m. British.
And we've also got some Mother's Day stuff. U.S. Mother's Day.
Yes, U.S. Mother's Day. This is a funny class. Why is it funny? Because there's going to be classes that are going to be coming out. There's going to be English, Spanish, and German classes that are going to be starting on May 8th. But there is a special 2-for-1 ride with Robin Arzon and Jess King taking place Saturday, May 11th at 10 a.m. Eastern. Why is that funny? It's funny because back in the day, these two were on a ride called the Bad Girls Ride.
Oh, I remember talking about those. Yeah.
And it was like one of the most like hailed epic rides for years, years. And then they redid it not too long ago. But now they're both moms and they're doing a Mother's Day ride. They are no less epic, but it is hilarious to me how times have changed.
For sure.
Like if anything says time has changed, they've gone from bad girls to mothers.
You can be both.
You absolutely can. Just watch Bad Moms.
Peloton also celebrated a Jewish American Heritage Month.
Yes. Okay. So this is really cool because this is the first time Peloton has celebrated this month.
Which is surprising.
It is. But I have found out through talking to several Jewish people, there's a lot of people that don't know this month exists.
Oh, is this like kind of a new
I don't know how new month? It is. I did not like, do my research. Yeah. I just know that there's a lot of people who were unaware of it. So whether it's new or it's just not necessarily that widely known.
Right.
I don't know.
Gotcha.
But either way, they are being celebrated. And I had posted a couple, I don't know, like 10 days ago, something like that, that there was going to be a walk with Maddie and there was going to be a ride with Jen Sherman. And since then, Peloton also dropped two on-demand classes. One was a yoga flow with Anna Greenberg, and then the other was a meditation with Anna. So the two classes that were live, Maddie and Jen, were live earlier this week on the 7th, and then there are two that dropped on the 9th.
Peloton is also celebrating Asian and Pacific Islander Month. So if you're Asian and Jewish,
it's your month.
It's your month.
Like everything, there's all kinds of things to celebrate you. Yeah. So we already talked about Blackpink, that being one of the big classes this month. But we also talked 2 weeks ago about LOFI, the slow flow yoga class that Anna Greenberg had done. And then there's also a Desi Hits run that Hannah Frankson will be doing. And there's also going to be new Asia Hits as well.
Oh, I love Asia.
I don't think that's the same thing.
With Jeff Downs? And no.
Oh, okay. No. And New Asia, classical, and then there's also another class series called Pacific Islander Vibes. So they're sprinkling in a few different kinds this month. So be on the lookout for those.
And Kira Michelle has launched a new series.
Yes, it is called Creating Space. And this is Yin Yoga. I always forget that. So this is a journey through Yin Yoga that you can do with Kira Michelle.
And speaking of new series, or Sir-I, if you're Latin, Ben Aldis has a new strength series.
He does. It's called The Stronger You. So this is a 6-part series. It's 20-minute full body classes. It's interesting because these classes are actually structured very similar to Ben's total body strength classes from last year. So we're not really sure if this is a rebranding of those classes or if that was intentional. I don't know. We like it, though. Either way, it's cool. They're still there. And now there's this one. So you could get a total of 12 if you want to. And if you want more Ben, they're still Stronger U1 and Stronger U2. Those are both programs that you can find.
And we also have new classes, Para Las Madres.
For the mothers.
For the mothers.
So these are the Spanish classes we mentioned earlier. And these classes are going to be, oops, I pulled up the wrong one. There's going to be 3 different classes. There's going to be a walk with Camilla on the 8th. There's going to be a full body strength with Rad on the 8th. And so then there is a yoga flow with Mariana. And all 3 of those take place in Spanish. All 3 of those are on the 8th. They either are on demand or they are live. So you will be able to find them on demand if you're hearing this for the first time.
Or not on the 8th, on El Ocho.
That's true. That is true.
Peloton birthdays.
And finally, we have 3 birthdays this week.
My girl, Susie Chan.
Susie Chan on May 10th.
Happy birthday, Susie.
On May 14th.
It's our birthday.
It's the Clip Out's birthday. That's
how many years are we now?
This would be...
We started in 2017.
Yes.
So 17 to 24, whatever that is.
18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 7 years.
7 years of podcasting.
How about
7
that?
Years of this crazy ride called Peloton.
I know. And then finally, on May 16th, you can celebrate Maddie Majakuma's birthday.
Happy birthday, Maddie. We love you.
And coming up after this, we're going to talk to Peyton McMahon, so stick around.
Checking in with the Peloton community.
Joining us today via the magic of ZoomTube, it's Peyton McMahon. Hey, Peyton, how's it going?
Hey, it's going good. How about y'all?
We're great. We're still learning Squadcast, but it's getting better. This was much smoother than the last few times.
Slowly but surely.
Yes. So how did you originally find Peloton and decide, oh, I want to try this?
So my sister actually introduced it to me. She got one and I was over there one weekend staying with her and I heard her doing it one morning and I think she was taking a Cody Rigsby class and like, I don't know, just heard all the chatter and everything in the other room. I was like, what is going on in there? So I checked it out, thought it sounded really cool. And then my mom actually decided to get one at my parents' house. So I kind of just was like, why don't I try this out? So I did and got hooked pretty quickly.
Okay. So about how long ago was that?
I think it was about 2 years ago.
Are you still in the weird time thing?
Yeah,
since
it was like,
COVID
were because... you wearing a mask? Had you gotten the vaccine? Yes. Like, here's all the benchmarks. Oh, yes, it was.
I still keep saying things like last year. And it was 4 years ago. Yeah. Like, it's so confusing. It's what a wormhole that became.
For real. The past 4 years have totally blended together. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Now, were you always like a fitness person and Peloton was new, or were you a person that did not work out? Like, where did you fall in that spectrum?
Before Peloton, I was into fitness. I'm a runner. So I started running halves, like, I want to say 10 years ago. And then I guess about 6 years ago, I kind of started to get a little bit more into it. And I joined a couple running groups in my city. There's one called Varsity Sports. That's awesome. They have a store and running group. And then there's also one called Happy's Running Club that does a 5K every week from a bar. And yeah, so I started getting into that. And then I started running full marathons, which was a whole nother animal that really kind of upped the fitness of what I was doing. And then I started working in some at-home strength training stuff at the beginning of COVID because I was at home a lot and why not?
What else are you going to do?
But it, yeah. And I just like pulled some stuff up from YouTube and it was fun for a while, but I was taking the same things and it just was starting to get really monotonous. So yeah, I was into fitness to an extent, but as far as like biking and stuff goes, that was a whole new thing for me.
Okay. So that's interesting because you're a runner, but you got into it with biking. So do you take Peloton running classes or like outdoor classes, or do you use any of that?
I just actually took my first outdoor running class like 2 weeks ago. So I was curious to try it because I've always kept my running stuff separate and done mainly strength training and the bike to complement it. And I really think it's helped and kind of rounded out my training and strength. But yeah, I've been wanting to try the run stuff because why not? So I tried one of the outdoor ones a couple weeks ago and it was cool. I really liked it. I don't know. It was more entertaining and took my mind off of it, which was nice.
You forget you're running, don't you? It's amazing.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like running with a friend or something. Like you're not thinking about like, oh gosh, I still have this long to go or that kind of thing. It's, I don't know. You're kind of more in the zone and that was nice.
That's great.
No, I was just going to say, it's interesting how many people that if they run, they still have this thought of like, well, I don't need Peloton for that part of my fitness.
Right.
You know, there's this thought process, I think, for a lot of runners of like, well, I know how to run, so I don't need Peloton. And then when they finally kind of cave, they're like, oh, that was either more entertaining than I thought or more useful than I thought.
Totally. Like I've noticed a huge difference once I started the strength training, especially because I mean, runners are, especially if you're doing marathons and stuff, you're supposed to strength train to help prevent injury and keep yourself strong and keep yourself well-rounded. And I noticed such a difference once I started doing a lot of strength training on the Peloton and the bike stuff because man, I still remember my first few classes thinking like, well, this shouldn't be that hard because I run and like whatever, but it was totally different. I guess just using totally different muscles. I was like, whoa, this is so building up strength in that definitely helps by running a lot.
Well, I guess you can get your legs pumping faster on a bike than you can running.
Yeah, it's weird. I guess you're using more, I don't know, because also with running, different types of workouts, if you're doing speed workouts, you're using, I don't know, more different muscles in your legs, but on the bike, I guess you're focused a little more on some other muscles that you don't normally use when you're running. And I guess I had some room to grow there and get stronger on those muscles, which I didn't realize at first until I was like, whoa, this is extremely hard. Like my heart rate was getting up so much higher than I was expecting. And I was so out of breath. And yeah, it was a wake up call.
I feel like we just got a window into your personality. Like what a positive outlook. You're like, I had some room to grow there. Not I sucked at that, which is how I would have said it. Turns out I'm an abject failure, not just in the world of fitness, but as a human being, where you're like, I had some room to grow.
I love that.
I dig it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess with running, it taught me you got to start somewhere. So you start and just reflecting on how far I've come as a runner kind of taught me with other things fitness wise, like, oh, wow, like not so good at this, but maybe one day I will be. So.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my understanding is from our conversation offline that you are a singer-songwriter, but you also mentioned that Peloton has kind of affected your singing. And I'm really curious to hear more about that.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm a singer-songwriter. I release music and have post stuff on my social media and everything. But obviously, vocal health is important for a singer-songwriter, as with anything. And I've noticed once I started doing more bike workouts and strength training that I think my lung capacity and my vocals have gotten a little bit stronger, just my stamina with singing, especially if I play gigs with a lot of demanding songs. It's a lot like doing a strength workout, but in a different way.
That's
and your lungs are just like any other muscles. You've got to keep them strong and learn how to, it's like an endurance thing. So I noticed once I started doing a lot more strength training, especially core stuff, that my voice felt so much stronger and the endurance was there longer. So definitely thankful for that.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that makes total sense because I mean, like as a big classic rock guy, like there are certainly some singers out there who can maybe even still hit the notes, but they have trouble with breath control and like getting through an entire verse. I don't want to name any names because I would hate to embarrass Vince Neil from Motley Crue, but but like that dude can't make it through an entire verse of a song without like gasping for air. Like you watch a show and you're just like, I'm concerned for your safety, sir.
Yeah, people underestimate, like, I guess if you don't know singing, it's like you might think it's just like, oh, you can sing, like you do it, but it's a workout. It's tiring and it takes a lot of time and training to kind of learn how to stretch out the energy you're pushing.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And I think a lot of singers, especially in the world of rock, like they maybe didn't come up through like a school choir where they're actually teaching them breath control. It's like four kids in a garage and like you're the one who sounds the best. Just go for it. And they didn't actually learn a proper way to sing. And so like you hear this story all the time. Chino from the Deftones, like at one point he had to go to a doctor because his throat was roached. And the doctor, who, you know, was probably in his 60s, like, let's hear one of your songs. And he's like, sweet baby Snow Peas, of course your throat is roached. You can't sing like that. Like, how are you not coughing up blood?
Right. It's just like with training for anything else. It's like you can't run a marathon every week. Like, it's kind of the same thing as you can't sing the most vocally challenging songs, a full set of them every single week. You've got to learn how to pace yourself and how to strengthen yourself and know when to take a step back, know when to rest. It's all the same. So it's kind of cool learning the parallels between the two.
Absolutely.
So what kind of music do you write and perform?
Kind of along the lines of singer, songwriter, folk, rock, pop, kind of similar to like, I don't know if you know James Bay. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
James Bay is a big influence of mine. Also love like Mumford and Sons, and Noah Kahan is one of my current favorites. And yeah, a bunch of other, I would be here all day if I was going to name all the artists I love listening to. But yeah, along those lines, folk, rock, pop, singer, songwriter.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. So is that, I'm scared to ask the question for fear I'm going to sound rude. Is that at a level where like, do you still need a day job or are you like, this is your thing and you can support yourself doing that?
It's not full time just yet.
Sure.
But that's the goal. So been working towards it.
That's awesome. And I love yeah, just yet.
Yeah. You're such a positive person.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, thanks. I try. Not all the time, but I try to be. Yeah.
That's good that you're working on it, that you have like a direction and a path. That's awesome. I know it's not easy to do any kind of thing that's creative, that you have to start from scratch.
For
and
sure.
My stepson, Tom's son, is looking to go into being an actor and he wants to do specifically TV and film. And it is interesting to watch all of the things. So
yeah.
Like I couldn't do it, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Like I would feel... It would be hard. It would be very hard to have that constant people judging you. I mean, that's literally what we all do about everything, but you're putting yourself out there in a very different way. So that takes a lot of bravery.
Thanks. Yeah, no, it's something I've learned. Like you've got to really want it to still be trying for so long because yeah, just with any creative field, you get a lot of rejection, a lot of judgment, and it takes a lot of patience. I'm still trying to have it quite made it to the level I want to make it to yet. Yeah, you got to really want to do it. And that's kind of what keeps you going.
So
yeah.
What's been your biggest or most exciting moment in your music career thus far?
A few things. Most recently, about a year ago, a little less than a year ago, I got to open up for one of my favorite artists. His name's Dermot Kennedy. He's an Irish singer-songwriter. And he was doing this thing where he was having a local artist open for him on some of his tour dates. So I sent him some of my stuff. And the day before the show, his team emailed me and said, like, yeah, he wants you to open for him. And that was kind of a dream come true, just because I've been so inspired by him. And it would have been cool to like meet him and go to his show regardless. But the fact that he wanted me to play my music for his fans was just the coolest thing in the world. And one of those moments that I was just like, wow, I want to be doing this like all the time. So that's kind of the highlight so far.
That's amazing. Awesome.
But I'm sorry, the correct answer was being on the show. So that's...
Oh, and this, of course. Yeah.
So I...
right now.
So I'm just like, the day before?
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of things in this business are very like quick. There's a term hurry up and wait for a lot of things. And that's kind of what it's like. You find out you got to be on deck. So, yeah, I was fully prepared.
Yeah, I'm just like, so like my day job is I book concerts for a living. That's my day job. And so.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, well, wait a second. Like I went into concert marketing mode. I'm like, if you're going to bring in a local guy, you let that guy know like 4 weeks out so he can start telling people locally and help you sell more tickets. Like the marketing guy in me is like, well, this is an outrage.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was kind of like he wasn't doing it for all the shows. And I guess it was kind of a like spur of the moment thing where if it's an artist who just. It's playing one instrument, doesn't have a whole setup. It's easy to give them like a 30-minute slot to play before. So it was kind of a really cool thing for him to do
as a
bigger artist to give people like me a chance. So
that's amazing.
And so what size venue is that you were playing in front of?
It was, I don't know the exact number, probably a couple thousand people. It was a Fillmore, which I know there's Fillmores around the country. So yeah, it was a Fillmore theater.
Which Fillmore?
In New Orleans.
Okay. Sorry, I'm going into
I was like, oh, he's at work right now.
Yeah. So I'm like, Fillmore, those are big ones. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was just cool.
Just a little insight into every time I watch a concert with him, he sits down and immediately starts like checking out the exits and how the concert flow is going and what the crowd is like. Yeah. And like,
I know that guy's going to be a problem.
What does it look like when they're serving beer? Like, these are the things that he goes into. And I'm like, ugh. Can we just enjoy the music?
Yeah, and it's hard not to once you kind of see that or learn that side of things. Like, man, the amount of things that go into it, little details, it's crazy.
You live in New Orleans then, based on what you just said?
Baton Rouge, an hour away.
That's okay.
So So I'm here for the time being. I'm trying to plot a move somewhere, but I'm in New Orleans all the time anyway, too, because it's so close. So yeah, Baton Rouge, New Orleans.
Gotcha. I was just curious if you had any plans or hopes to go to the Peloton studio at some point. And I was trying to figure out how far that was for you, but it sounds similar to the distance we are because we're in Missouri. So it's not a quick trip. It's not like you can just be like, oh, I'll just pop down to Manhattan today.
Yeah, I wish. I actually just did a few weeks ago. I was in New York recording some music, working with a guy who lives there, a producer. And of course, while I was planning that trip, I was like, oh, I need to book some classes while I'm there. And luckily, I didn't really know how the booking process worked. And I looked it up. And luckily, the day the classes were dropping for like when I was going to be there was like the next day. It's like, thank God I looked when I did. So yeah, I took two classes while I was there. And it was such a blast.
Oh, that's awesome. So which classes did you end up taking?
I took a 30-minute ride with Tune Day. And then I took a 60-minute total strength with Andy Spear a couple days later. So, yeah, both were. I wanted to get one bike class and one strength class in because those are the two that I do anyway. So I was really lucky to get into those and they were both so much fun. Yeah. I wish I could do them more.
Same.
So do you have a preferred instructor?
It really depends on kind of what I'm in the mood for. They all kind of give different energy, as y'all know. So I'd say my favorites... kind of between, so I love Tune Day. I was glad to take one of her. She loved all just like kind of motivational little anecdotes she throws in there. And so she's great. I love Andy Spear as well, especially the total strength 60-minute TF60 classes he does every week have been really fun to take. It's such a cool, just comprehensive workout. And I love his energy too. He, like, all the little punny jokes he has, it's funny. It keeps your mind off of the work you're doing. But I also love, like, Emma Lovewell has some of the best playlists. Like, her music taste is right in line with mine. So very much into that. Also love Ben Aldis and Olivia Amato. They have some of the hardest ones, which I like the challenge sometimes. So, but again, I really love all of them. I love taking all their classes, but those are the ones I take the most.
That's a good mixture.
For sure. What is your leaderboard name?
It's pretty boring. It's just Peyton 415. Like, I couldn't think of anything clever or funny. And I was just like, you know what? Why not? That'll make it. I think the first time I took a live class, like, it was a milestone I was reaching, and I wanted a better chance at them, like, being able to, like, pronounce the name. And, like, so that was part of the reason. It's very simple, but also I couldn't think of anything funny. So just my name.
Nothing wrong with that.
So as a singer-songwriter, I have a question for you. I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Uh-oh.
This isn't on the list. Crystal doesn't know where I'm going.
Yeah, so, I have no idea where he's going.
Okay. As a songwriter, give me three words that rhyme with Peloton.
Oh, gosh. I don't think... Are there words that rhyme with Peloton? I don't think there are.
I don't know.
It was a trick question.
I was hoping you'd come up with some.
I feel like it's like orange and there's no actual words that rhyme with it.
Telephone.
Yeah, nothing is coming to me. There's probably some like ear rhymes, but not actual rhymes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have to construct something out of like the end of one word and the beginning of another. Yeah, like, I know. I was just
messing with
it. I was just seeing if he could do it. I was like, if he can do it, this is going to be great. But there's no...
I'm going to Google after this, and yeah, sure enough, there's going to be several.
He's going to be like, I need to tape. Everybody put the same outfits back on. We're going to splice this in later. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Peyton, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us. Before we let you go, let everybody know where they can find you and all the places where they can check out your music, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. No, thank y'all so much for having me. This was fun. Yeah, find me on all the social media, Instagram, TikTok. It's just Peyton McMahon is my name, Peyton McMahon. And on Spotify and Apple Music as well, that's my name, Peyton McMahon. So just search and you'll be able to find my music. I'm releasing a new song very soon and I have a few other songs releasing throughout the year. So stay tuned. All the social platforms, just my name. So it's pretty easy.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And fingers crossed that we one day have a Peyton McMahon artist series.
Yes. Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
That would be incredible. That is low key on my bucket list. Or to be one of the artists that like can go take the class in person and like get shouted out.
Yeah, that would be so cool.
Do the studio takeover.
Yeah. Crash the internet, make everybody mad, but like in the best way. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you again, Peyton.
Of course. No, thank y'all. I appreciate it.
So I guess that brings this episode to a close. Until next week, where can people find you?
They can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/CrystalD O'Keefe. They can find me on all the socials and the Peloton leaderboard at Clip Out Crystal.
And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/TheClipOut. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon at patreon.com/TheClipOut. We're going to record that right now. We're going to talk some more about what you can maybe expect to see if private equity takes over Peloton. So maybe we'll see you there. Until then, keep pedaling.
And running.
And rowing.
Bye.